The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
You're in the madhouse now.
Welcome to Top 5, a show where we count things down from number 5 all the way to number 1. And this week, this is kind of a bittersweet episode because a couple of weeks ago we lost Kevin Conroy, who's the voice of Batman in so many things, but probably most well known as Batman from Batman the Animated Series and everything animated from New Batman Adventures, Batman Superman Adventures, Justice League Unlimited, and so on. So this show is kind of to honor Kevin Conroy, but also because I don't think we've done Top 5 Batman the Animated Series episodes before. So some yay stuff, but also some sad stuff tackled behind that. Now, when you say this is let me do Matthew here, everybody. When you say Batman the Animated Series, does that include New Batman Adventures? Because technically it was just kind of a half-ass redesign of the characters, just but there really wasn't a break between seasons, and it just got a name change. And I would say yes, you can include episodes of the new Batman Adventures. But the question that Rodrigo might ask then is, what about a Return Mask of the Phantasm? And the answer is no, Rodrigo, because this episode is episodes of. And Mask of the Phantasm and the Mr. Freeze one were both movies. And the Return of the Joker, also a movie. So none of those in the list this week.
What about the entirety of Batman Beyond?
That one, you could put a stretch on that if you wanted to. I didn't include any of those.
I didn't either. I'm just curious.
Young Kevin Conroy ones. That would be the stretch to go out that far, technically, that he's in there. Yeah, so there were three Batman the Animated movies. Matthew, the first one was The Mask of the Phantasm. And then the second one was this Mr. Freeze direct-to-video movie.
Yeah, Sub-Zero, right?
Yeah, Sub-Zero, that's right. Correct. Not to be confused with the Mortal Kombat game.
I loved him in Mortal Kombat.
And then, of course, The Return of the Joker, which is, I would say, if you're going to watch that, ladies and gentlemen, watch the director's cut, the unedited version of that movie. Because it is more terrifying and horrifying, but I think it's a much better story.
That makes it worse.
No, it's there. So, top 5 Batman the Animated Series episodes. Rodrigo, what do you have for your number 5?
My number 5 is season 1, episode 56, Harley and Ivy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was almost on my list. That's on my almost rants.
Sure. I really like this episode because, like, I was there when it happened. I was there when they discovered that these two characters actually have a lot of chemistry together, and you know, when they were written to have chemistry together. But you know, that sort of thing is half the writers and the people involved, and half happenstance and how the public already perceives the characters. And the moment that they put Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy together, it was electric, right? Is like we're not sure what's happening here, but we like it.
Are you talking about just their chemistry or the fact that Warner Brothers was secretly coding these as a couple, as a gay couple?
I think that the
secretly
Okay, so first off, I don't think it was Warner Brothers doing that. I think it was like the
Paul Dini and
the actual creatives doing that. Second, I mean, it was because obviously now when we look back on it, 150 years later, it all seems pretty obvious. But back in those days, it wasn't. That's how you got stuff past the censors. And Warner Brothers cartoons had been getting stuff past the censors for a few years by then. And this is them perfecting that formula. It's also just a fun show. It's also a show, it's an episode where, like, because you are on Poison Ivy's side of things, you also start to, like, it also kind of starts up the question of, is Poison Ivy actually wrong to do the things she does? Which, you know, we'll see become more and more of a question as we go. Yeah, is she really a villain? So, Harley and Ivy, my number five.
Yeah. All right. Matthew, what do you have for your number five?
The thing for Batman the Animated Series with me is that I have never rewatched it. And I wasn't an avid watcher back in the day. But there are episodes that kind of stick in your memory, stick in your mind. And I feel like, much as with Gilligan's Island, I'm really conversant in episodes, but I haven't sat down and, you know, watched all of them. So I was actually looking at the list and going, I have no idea what this episode is. I've never heard of this one. This one sounds terrible. But one that stuck with me simply because of one perfect, beautiful sequence is, I want to say it's technically an episode of The Adventures of Batman and Robin. And I want to say that it's like season two of that, episode 11, but it's Baby Doll.
Yeah.
And Baby Doll is one of those. Yes, it's killer. And it's one of those that I really enjoy when this show kind of cuts its own territory, makes its own path through Batman. And the thing with Baby Doll is that up until Batman the Animated Series, there was a whole lot of tee-hee, ha-ha, all of Batman's villains are, you know, seriously mentally ill, and they all have issues that if he'd stop punching them, someone could fix. But when you really get down to it, this show kind of made that into a thing where every Bat villain has to have that problem. And Baby Doll is wonderful because Baby Doll is a grown woman who looks like a tiny baby girl. And she looks like she's about 8. And this has made her life miserable. She wants to be she is an actress, but she's always going to be that child actress from a sitcom 30 years ago. And when you get to the end of the episode, when she's in the funhouse and she turns to the funhouse mirror that, you know, warps everyone else, that makes her look like a grown woman, and just stops dead and screams and smashes the mirror, I'm just like, oh my God. I literally at that point felt like I had more sympathy and more love for Baby Doll than I did for any of the classic villains, maybe for Batman himself. Just a wonderful episode. And then Batman hugs her and lets her cry. And it's so wonderful. It's such an odd take, you know, in a modern context on Batman. But yeah, it's a great episode. One of my very favorites.
Yeah, that's a good one. My number five is episode 35 from the Batman the Animated Series, Almost Got Him. This is one that barely features Batman at all because it is the tale of seven of Batman's rogues gallery sitting around playing poker, with five of them telling the time that they came closest to killing Batman. And so we get it from Catwoman's perspective. We get it from Poison Ivy's perspective, and Two-Face and Penguin, and Killer Croc is always like, I threw a rock at him and I almost got him. And that's his whole story. So it's really, really good just because we get these different takes on how each of the villains perceives Batman as their foil, and how they are. It's one of those tales. I forget what it's not a tall tale. I mean, it's a tall tale competition thing, but it's the one of who can best tell the story of how they almost became the hero in the story by killing Batman. And it's really nice because you get these really short mini stories that are packed with adventure as they're, you know, as Poison Ivy is doing something, Scarecrow's doing something, et cetera, et cetera. It's just really well done in how they do it. And then the surprise is Batman's been there the entire time. So yeah, this is a good one. Number five, almost got him.
Yeah.
Almost got him is my number one.
I don't see how that's your number five.
That's your number one.
It's my number two.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So Rodrigo, why is it your number one?
It's got a lot going for it. I really like the episodes. I mean, as you can see from like episode counts, right? My last one was episode 56 of the first season. Mm-hmm. There's a ton of episodes of Batman.
Yeah. Because it was a weekly show.
In fact, all of my selections are from the first season because wow. Got to the end of the first season and I was like, I already have too many. Almost got is a world building show, right? You get mm-hmm. to see things from the point of view of the villains, but on top of it, it's also still a Batman episode because as it turns out, there's a like second mystery that needs to be solved, at least in one of these stories, right? And there's like a after you hear all the villains say almost got him, then at the end you get to hear Catwoman in a different sense say almost yeah. got him.
Yep.
So it does a lot. Mm-hmm. The episodes like these do a lot to build up the mystique of Batman while also allowing us to still have a very normal and grounded Bruce Wayne, right? It's like I feel mm-hmm. like in mm-hmm. current stories of Batman has to be really extreme. Like either you have the thing where you know the writers say, yeah, Batman's the real thing, Bruce Wayne is the mask, or you're like, well, Bruce Wayne would have to be really messed up in order for him to go through the things that he goes through to be Batman. In an episode like Almost Got Him, seeing it from the villain's perspective and what they put up with and what they do to him, it still allows you to then see like that very normal, well-adjusted Bruce Wayne mm-hmm. and have that be like a legit thing where you're like, yeah, Bruce Wayne puts on the thing and becomes Batman. There's a separation mm-hmm. there and it exists and they can both exist.
Yep. Matthew, why was it your number two?
Right. It's my number two because as much as I just said, I love it when the show does its own thing. This is very similar. I don't know if it's influenced by, but it's very similar to a series of Batman stories that came out a few years before I started reading comics that I happened to buy out of a 10-cent bin. And they were like Batman 290 through 294, Where Were You the Night Batman Was Killed? And I mm-hmm. remembered those books and enjoyed them. And I'm like, this episode is that. But it put its own twist on it. It did a similar gimmick. It did a similar thing, but it had a really different take. And I feel like the thing that really, really made it wonderful is that each one of the villains saw Batman differently.
Mm-hmm.
And each one of the villains kind of had their own insight into a part of Batman, you know, especially Catwoman. But you do also have that lovely moment of, I threw a rock at him.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, for me, you can't beat the cartoon origin of the giant penny in the Batcave.
Mm-hmm.
That's not your real origin, but I'll let them have it because it's an alternate universe.
I don't want to spoil anybody's listing if they have it, but the Legends of the Dark mm-hmm. Knight episode is a good counter to Almost Got Him in that sure. Almost Got Him are the villains telling the tales of yeah. of Batman and how they've dealt with him. Legends of the Dark Knight are other people, like the citizens of Gotham. Yep.
People telling, who don't have a relationship with Batman.
Yeah, telling their tale of mm-hmm. who they think Batman is. So you get a Dick Sprang version of Batman. You get literally the Dark Knight Returns version of Batman. And I think one more. There's like three vignettes mm-hmm. in that one. So if you want kind of a balance between those two, go check out the Legends of the Dark Knight episode to kind of bookend everyone else's take on Batman. So there you go. So yeah, so it's great to see Almost mm-hmm. Got Him on everybody's list on this one. Rodrigo, what do you have for your number four?
That's probably going to happen again.
Probably.
My number four is, let's see, season one, mm-hmm. episode 26,
yep.
Perchance to Dream.
That is my number four as well.
Yep. It's a good one. It is an episode that would get its sort of its counterpart like a decade later in the Justice League with for the Man Who Has Everything.
Mm-hmm. That's right? That's my notes too. I was like, oh, this is that version of For the Man Who Has Everything. Yeah.
Yep. So yeah, the story here is Batman gets knocked out during a patrol, and he wakes up and he's Bruce Wayne. There's no signs of any of his wonderful toys or Batcave or Young Ward or anything else.
He's married to Selina Kyle.
He's like, I think, engaged to Selina Kyle. His parents are alive. Like, he gets to be kind of like a spoiled rich man child, you know, and doesn't have any worries. And it's not until basically he starts to find like the seams of what turns out to be a dream reality that he starts to freak out and to put it all together and to realize that he is, in fact, the Batman.
Yeah. No, yeah, and that's the thing, right? He keeps insisting that he's the Batman, and he sees a Batman doing work and getting in the headlines and everything. He's like, no, I'm Batman. And slowly, Bruce starts to go a little mad. And, you know, he comes to blows with Batman in a bell tower at the end of the episode until Batman is like, or I'm sorry, Bruce Wayne is like, I know I'm Batman because I picked up a book and I couldn't read any of the words. And that's when I knew that I was dreaming. Bum, bum, bum. And he comes out of it. Also, this episode is written by Joe R. Lansdale, who is a favorite author of mine. He's the one that writes the Happen Leonard books that I talk about all the time. So when you get into, you know, Joe R. Lansdale's horror stuff and you see the horror of what's happening in Bruce Wayne, that also takes this episode to a totally different level. So that's why it became my number four. So, Matthew, you don't have this one on your list?
Nice. I don't, mostly because I don't know that I've seen that one.
Matthew, what do you have for your number four?
My number four is, to the best of my knowledge, the last episode of Batman, the animated series, which technically, I guess, means the last episode of the new Batman Adventures. Season 5 of 5, episode 24, Judgment Day. The story of a new vigilante in Gotham City who carries a sword for some reason. I guess Justice has a sword.
That's a good one.
Yeah, and the judge starts just basically cracking down on Gotham City and getting rid of Gotham's worst criminals. And meanwhile, there's a guy going, hey, yes, vote for me. I'll be the new mayor of Gotham City. And also, this guy's awesome. He's ruthless. We shouldn't let Batman coddle these guys and send them to Arkham Asylum anymore. We should just kill him with a sword. And so the whole thing kind of goes absolutely pear-shaped. But it has such a wonderful reveal. I feel like it's a 30-year-old episode. I'm not necessarily going to ruin everything if I tell you that it's somebody we already know.
Yeah.
Somebody who already has maybe a problem with multiple personalities, maybe a face or two of them. But the really wonderful... Yeah, Janice. Janice Joplin. Yeah, that's what it was. But when you get to the end, though, you have this moment where, oh my gosh... The reason that the judge was like, oh, I know everything there is to know about Two-Face. But then you also have that just a terrible ending where Harvey Dent is being sentenced for his crimes. And somebody's like, how do you plead? And he's just like, guilty, guilty. Ugh. It's probably the most subtle acting Richard Mole ever did. I mean, I love Richard Mole. He's like 7 feet tall. He was Bull on Night Court. Killer Two-Face. But boy, that episode sticks with me, just some of the visuals, because the judge dresses like an English barrister. So he'll be in the shadows and you'll have that long, white, poofy wig. And then you'll see his sword come out of the darkness. You're like, oh, he should have had a giant gavel too. I guess he had part of it. I don't remember. I honestly, like I say, I watch Batman here and there. But I'll tell you, great episode. It's also a good episode for Kevin as Batman, because he does a lot of trying to, you know, figure out what's going on and trying to appeal not only to the evil mayor guy, but to his former friend Harvey. And it's a great ending because he fails.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the guy that he could have, maybe even should have saved, he didn't save, and he never will save him because he's gone forever. And it's just kind of a haunting Batman ending.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, This there is another Batman episode. Maybe it was the last episode of the future Batman Beyond, where it has a bat flying through at the end, and it replicates the opening sequence of the very first episode.
Yeah, so it has Terry flying through the sky, and it's like, did you see that? Like the guys in the blimp in the very first episode.
And that's a reference to the On Leather Wings. So yeah, every time someone says last episode of Batman, I'm always thinking of that as the last episode of Batman the Animated Series.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, it's the last episode of Batman the Animated Series and Batman Beyond.
Yep.
True.
So let's see. Rodrigo did his number four. Matthew did his number four. I've done my number four because Rodrigo and I had the same one. Rodrigo, what is your number three?
My number three is, unsurprisingly, another sort of like a world building one. I got Batman in my basement.
Oh, that one is a good one. I like that one a lot. That one is really nice.
I like it too, and I'm pretty sure we read the story that it's based on.
I believe so.
Here on the show.
Yeah,
but I mean, that's kind of all that happens is Batman gets poisoned by the Penguin, and he is kind of not going to make it. And a little kid finds him, and him and his sister, I believe, get him to his basement so that he can recover. And meanwhile, the Penguin's out looking for them. That's kind of all that happens, and it just kind of gives you that sort of like thing where everybody helps Spider-Man on the subway kind of situation with Batman, obviously years before. It goes to show how the regular people feel about Batman, right? And again, it's sort of another little corner to Legends of the Dark Knight, for example, where it's mostly like adults talking about how they perceive Batman, but kids seem to naturally sort of trust Batman.
Yep.
It's a super fun one. It's one where like Batman is not the main character. As you can see from like a lot of my list, I like that because it actually does a lot of work for the main character, right? I'm a big fan of Blink for Doctor Who because it tells you a lot about the Doctor, and the Doctor is barely in it, right? So this is the sort of episode that sticks with me.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Very good. Matthew, what do you have for your number three?
My number three, I'm almost certain, is going to be on somebody else's list, but it is quite possibly one of my favorite appearances of a favorite actor. 18th episode of season one, I believe. Beware the Gray Goose.
That is my number one.
That is my number two.
Ha ha! We got it. Two trifectas, ladles and jelly spoons. Two of them. It's such a strong episode. And I feel like it's really, really hard to do Batman's origin over and over and over. And it's really hard to do Batman's origin in a way that feels unique and feels fresh. And taking that little bit of, in the comics, he was inspired by Zorro. Well, we don't own Zorro. Let's do something else. Let's take into account maybe the pulp origins. Let's do something really metatextual and also really great. And also featuring some of the best stunt casting in the world. Yeah, that's cool. We're going to give Adam West money. And it's going to be a license to print more. That is how the whole thing works. And I feel like the fact that the Gray Ghost actually does eventually migrate into comic book continuity is proof enough that this episode is just absolutely killer.
Yeah. For me, this, I do not pay a whole lot of attention to voices in stuff. But this is the first time it's like, when this aired, I remember watching it when it aired going, who's that voice? How do I know that voice? And I was like, that sounds like Adam West. And then I was watching, was recording it at the same time, and I played it back and frame by frame. Yeah, sure enough, that's Adam West. And then that moment that you realize that Simon Trent, it's almost like they created the Gray Ghost specifically for Adam West to play the character, because Adam West's career and Simon Trent's career basically mirror each other. At the point that this episode aired, I don't think Adam West was doing much of anything at the time. Remember he was in that like little silly comedy detective show.
Yeah, he was Adam Westing. I think about this time he did an episode of Goosebumps with a similar theme.
Maybe where that's what it was. But he was definitely
he was like
not
the galloping galooper or something.
Yeah, he was definitely not doing a whole lot. And so I feel like Beware the Great Ghost is kind of like Adam West's return to popularity, because everybody who grew up watching, you know, Batman 66 now are old enough and working in the industry to say, oh, let's put Adam West in here. Remember Adam West? What's he doing now? Well, let's get him in this TV show. Let's do him in this TV show. And then you have, you know, of course, his long run on Family Guy and just doing a whole bunch of other stuff. So I really look at the Beware the Great Ghost as one of those real meta episodes where they're like, hey, everybody has somebody that inspired them to be, you know, who they are. In Batman's case, it was the Great Ghost. In Batman the Animated Series case, it was Batman 66. And so that is what makes this episode just so, so good. If you ask, it is always going to be my number one Batman animated episode. Rodrigo, why is it your number two?
For all the reasons you said, interestingly, I had to like go and find out about it because I watched the 66 Batman in Spanish, so I didn't know what Adam West sounded like. It's one of those things where you can really see that it was like the right amount of time, right? And now that I'm ancient, I see this happen over and over again, where I know that when the 66 Batman came out, there were Batman fans who were like, this is garbage. Like, why are they having Batman do this? But between that and, I don't know, 1992 or whenever, enough time had passed that kids that had seen that grew up and they were like, yeah, this is part of who Batman is. Let's add that back into our stuff. And you see that over and over and over again with every decision that was ever good or bad, with these characters that continue to exist long after their creators and for decades and decades, their origins and things about them get remixed. Meta aspects of them are brought into the actual continuity of things. Things that were in jokes or whatever become serious aspects of the character. Beware the Great Ghost is just a great example of that.
There's a really great meta, not beyond just the stunt casting bit. There's another in cartoon reference to the TV show itself, in that the Great Ghost posters that they have in the background are the exact same poster from of the promo, and actually the in credits title of the silhouette of Batman against the Red Moon. They also do that with the Gray Ghost in that as well. And it's like, oh yeah, hey, for everybody that pays attention to the in credits, look at this. We've got the Gray Ghost poster that does the exact same thing. So
nice.
Very, very cool. All right. So that was Matthew's number three. My number one, Rodrigo's number two. My number three, I'm just trying to keep this all straight. My number three is one that is interesting on a couple of cases. This is a new Batman Adventures. It's the only one that's not part of the Batman animated series titled specifically. But this is the new Batman Adventures episode, Mad Love. If you are not familiar with this one, it's episode 24. This is the one where Harley Quinn is really, trying to have fun with Puddin', the Joker, and he just keeps like, leave me alone, woman. I'm not into happy fun times right now. Just get me out. And finally, he just like, get out of here, throws her out on her behind. And she's like, I can't believe that he treats me this way. And it is this really emotional look at how Harley Quinzel is taken in and conned by the Joker every step of the way and falls for him in just a crazy way, to where she doesn't realize until the very end of the episode that she's in a horribly abusive relationship and she needs to get out. Especially when the Joker basically is going to leave her to die and Batman has to save her. And she's basically like, I'm done with the Joker. You know, this is the end of him, of our relationship with him. And then as she's recovering in the hospital, she sees a flower from the Joker that he sent her. And she's like, oh, and then you know that she's right back into that abusive relationship. Yeah. This is a great story, number one. It's fascinating on a number of different levels because this episode was so popular that Paul Dini and Bruce Timm turned it into a comic book adaptation of the episode.
The comic came first.
I don't think so. I think it came out after, but maybe whichever way it happened. But then this also then was the introduction of Harley Quinn into the comic book universe. Yep. So it has a lot of different things about it that are that make it really good. But the fact that here's this abusive relationship and we see how Harley got into it. And even though she is a psychiatrist and knows that she's in a bad relationship, at the end, she can't get out of it. So it makes it an incredibly sad story at the end as well. So
it's kind of horrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is my number three. All right. Let us see where we're at in our numbers twos. Rodrigo, what was your number two? Was Beware the Gray Ghost.
Yeah, I'm out. I played all my cards.
Oh, you played all your cards? Okay. Matthew, what is your number two?
My number two was Almost Got Him. So,
okay. So we're back to my number two. This one is one that I think is, let me look really quick. I think it is a two-parter. It was so good that it won an Emmy. It is Robin's Reckoning. Part one is Robin's Reckoning. The part two follows up on that. I think it may have had a different name, but maybe it was the same one. But Robin's Reckoning is really cool because it shows us the relationship between Dick Grayson and Bruce Wayne and Robin and Batman, right? So we get to see how we get to see the whole circus thing where the parents die and how they deal with the parents' death is fascinating, right? Because Dick is sitting there watching his parents and he sees the ropes about to snap and he yells out and you see his mom leap out and grab his dad's hands and then they swing out of frame and then you hear a gasp or you don't hear a gasp. You see the trapeze come back in with just the broken rope and then you hear the audience gasp. And it's so well done just in how do we portray someone getting killed without showing them falling and lying in a crumpled heap on the floor of the Haley Circus. And then as the episode progresses, we get to see how Dick becomes Robin. And then as he grows up, they finally figure out who killed Dick's parents. And he wants to go out for revenge. And Batman is like, no, you're grounded. You stay here. I will deal with this. Because this is, you are not in the frame of mind to go deal with this correctly. You're going out for revenge as opposed to going out to stopping and avenging a murder. And it ends up with Robin saying, you know, screw you, old man, and going out and trying to do everything himself. It is a two-parter. And he almost, you know, he almost kills somebody. He almost kills Tony Zucco in this. Mm-hmm. And Batman stops him and they realize the error of the ways and you start to see a little bit of a break between these two as mentor, mentee, you know, sidekick, boss. So that when we do get into the Batman, the new Batman Adventures, I forget which one it is that has,
I think it is the new Batman Adventures.
Yeah. The new Batmans that has
or the Batman Superman Adventures maybe.
Yeah. Because then you have, then that's when you introduce Tim and Dick and Batgirl as your main characters in that show. But you start to see that kind of divide and how, yes, we are still a team, but maybe I don't need to listen to you all the time, Batman. So Robin's Reckoning is a great one at number two for me. Emmy winner also. Okay, so now we're up to the top of our list. My number one is gone. Mm-hmm. Rodrigo's number one is gone. Mm-hmm. Matthew, what do you have for your number one?
It is all me, baby. This is actually one that I remember incredibly well. If you were listening a couple of weeks ago when Steven suggested we do this episode, I actually said the name. My number one is Heart of Ice.
Yeah. Also, it's all in my almost rans or also rans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's an Emmy winner. So there's two Emmy winning episodes in our list this week.
This is something that I did not realize. And I actually discovered all of this when I was doing very recently to this recording, Hello Future People. I did a retro review at Major Spoilers of the first appearance of Mr. Freeze as Mr. Zero back in 1959. In that issue, Mr. Zero has no real name. Mr. Freeze doesn't come back for another 12 years, at which point he still doesn't have a real name. Throughout the 70s, he bounces around. Throughout the 80s, he's kind of here and there. It is literally not until the 14th episode of Batman the Animated Series in 1992 that Mr. Freeze becomes compelling, that he becomes Victor Freeze, that he's driven by the loss of his, or the seeming almost loss, his frozen wife, whom he can't save, but whom he's turned into a monster in the hopes of he could save. But everything that he does just makes it worse and worse. And I remember watching this episode, and I remember at the time my roommate Carl was shocked at the fact that Mr. Freeze had, there was, I think it was either a bystander, or I think it was one of his henchmen actually got frozen.
Yeah, and it's early on. Yeah.
Yeah. Then rather than chase the villain, Batman stops to help the henchman, and you see the henchman's friend go, "Oh my God, Joey." And they're like, "Oh, is he going to die? He's been frozen." And Batman is literally saving him. So Mr. Freeze nearly kills one of his own henchmen. Batman saves this guy's life. But of course, that makes, you know, Batman sick. I think he gets a cold, which is it's a myth, by the way. Mm-hmm. You can't get a cold from being exposed to cold. Cold is a virus. But more importantly, my grandmother told me if you cover your head with an armored cowl with spikes, you can't get a cold. But nonetheless, the story goes on, and it is so incredibly tragic. It is literally the definition of tragedy. The more he wants to fix everything he's done, the worse things he does and makes it all worse, and he doesn't realize it. And you're like, wow, this Mr. Freeze finally has a hook. And for the last 30 years, Mr. Freeze has been, I wouldn't say maybe one of the top tier villains, but definitely like intercontinental title level bat villains, you know, a recurring upper mid card guy who will pop up. He's up there with you, like your Black Masks and your, I don't know, your Timothy Twisteds and that guy who turns into a pickle. I don't know. But you do have very close to, and maybe even like the bottom of like the top row. You got your Joker, your Penguin, your Catwoman at the very top. Mr. Freeze is now officially, after 40 years of nothing, because of this episode, he's right up there. And that is the thing that this show did so well. This show took things that we knew and went, oh yeah, this boring, stupid thing that nobody in comics has figured out what to do with for 40 years. Here's a nearly freaking flawless episode.
Yeah.
Good luck. Goodbye now.
Yeah. Beyond just trying to create Victor Freeze as a sympathetic villain, it also is an episode that really puts into question, is Batman really right in this case? Why is he, why is he so concerned about beating the crap out of Mr. Freeze? As opposed to having some sympathy for the guy and maybe figuring out how to help his wife who is frozen because of an accident. And so you do get a sympathetic character in Mr. Freeze, Nora, but you also start to then question, is Batman right? You know, is he right and justified in doing what he's doing? Or is he almost as bad as Mr. Freeze in many cases? Because what drives Batman is kind of the same thing that drives Mr. Freeze. They're both driven by the loss of loved ones. And in Mr. Freeze's case, he's trying to commit all these crimes so he can get the funds and so he can get revenge on the people that, you know, really he won't admit that he's the one that caused his wife's death, but he's trying to get revenge on everybody who he thinks led up to this. And Batman's doing the same thing. He just wants to fight crime because that's what took out his parents. So, Heart of Ice, I knew you put it as your number one, but Beware the Grey Ghost, still my number one. But Heart of Ice is definitely in my almost rans in this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's only five slots.
Yeah.
Right.
The only other thing, I already mentioned Legends of the Dark Knight already. Harley and Ivy, Heart of Ice are in my also rans. The one that's in my actual number six slot is the two-part Two-Face episode, where one of the things that was really fascinating about the show when it started was that Harvey Dent was just a lawyer, an actual friend of Batman. You know, he wasn't this horribly scarred person. And yet, as the first couple of episodes, I mean, this is a season one that I want to say it's like the first 12 episodes, Two-Face, you start to see Harvey start to lose it.
Lose it.
Yeah. To the point that when he's in the accident in the factory and has his face blown off, it just becomes totally appropriate then for him to become this villain Two-Face in that two-parter. And I just remember at that end of part one, you know, his fiance comes to the hospital looking for him and he's not in bed and she comes running down the hallway and it's lightning out and he's down, you know, silhouetted by the window and he's torn off his bandages. And then you just see this flash of lightning. You just see this scarred, horrid face of his and he takes off into the night while she's screaming for Harvey to come back. So that was my number six slot in the Almost Rans. Do you guys have an Almost Ran, Rodrigo?
Yeah, I liked Joker's Wild.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Which I forget which episode it was, but it's still in the first season. I never made it out of the first season. I've seen episodes in the other seasons, but this is like a guy has the absolutely genius and horrifying idea that he's going to build a casino themed on the Joker, like the actual Joker, the criminal.
Mm-hmm.
Because basically he wants to collect the insurance when the Joker blows it up. And of course it goes horribly wrong for him. But yeah. I just thought when I saw that, I was like, God, what a genius premise for a show. Like some like idiot rich bro is like, oh, I know what I'll do. I'll mess with the most criminally insane person in the world. That'll surely end well for me.
Yeah, there's a couple of episodes like that. There's Jokerfish, obviously, where the Joker tries to copyright his likeness, yeah, and they're like, no, you can't do that one. And then there's one, and I forget what the title of the episode is, but there's this average Joe guy that's just, you know, driving to work one day, and somebody cuts him off, and starts yelling at the guy, and it turns out he's yelling at the Joker, and he's like, holy crap, the Joker's coming after me, and the Joker's like, I know your name, I know your address,
that's
one of these days
Joker's. That's the Joker's favor or something like that.
Joker's favor, that's right. Yeah, yeah. And to the point where it ends where this little timid guy finally stands up to him for himself and punches the Joker out at the end. So that one's pretty good. Yeah.
I like that first Man-Bat reveal. That was kind of
cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was episode one on Leather Wings. That one's really good. And it's really weird that they start with Wings.
What a choice. Like they could have just really sunk this on that first episode. Right.
Yeah,
but they went for it.
If I remember correctly, there's an episode order and then there's the release order. So maybe I'm trying to think Leather Wings is episode one, but for some reason, I think they had a Catwoman Joker episode on the premiere night as two back to backs. And so people are always like, oh no, Leather Wings isn't the first episode, but it's like, no, it is the first episode. And you're right. It is just this, wow, that is a way to go onto it. And if you got Man-Bat and Batman, I mean, that kind of makes sense. So,
yeah.
So there you go, ladies and gentlemen, the top five, the Batman, the animated series well, episodes.
Technically, instead of three top fives, we had seven total, but no, that's okay.
We threw in a bunch of also ran. So I'm sure you've got a good 15, 20 episodes to watch. There are hundreds of episodes. Go and watch them. Go and get the behind the scenes guides and all that stuff, because they do reveal a bunch of fascinating information in there. And why don't you head over to the Major Spoilers Discord server? There is a link in the show notes. You can join for free, jump into the top five channel and share your top five Batman, the animated series episodes. That's New Batman Adventures. That's The Adventures of Batman and Robin. That is Batman Beyond. If you want to throw it in there, put an asterisk by that.
You get one Batman Beyond.
Yes, you can have one Batman Beyond and one Batman Superman Adventures.
See,
and everybody knows
the fact.
Yeah, go ahead.
I love the fact that Steven mocks me for like, well, you know, Matthew likes to break the rules. And then he gives us this 15-page exceptions to his rules.
No, because in this case, you know, you could go by, well, if we're just going by the title of the show, that's one thing. But the fact that all they did was change the title of the show and do an art refresh because they thought that the series was getting stale. There was no like, Batman the Animated Series is off the air for 2 years, and we're bringing it back as the New Batman Adventures. No, it's because Fox and CW.
The WB is terrible. And
well, it was a whole sale thing about moving everything over to Fox the time and doing those things. So, you know, they had to make these changes to separate the two, but it was basically a continuation of the same Batman series. So
I find it interesting that none of us have actually mentioned the best Batman the Animated Series moment of ever.
Well,
which
is where the
Jigglypuff, Jigglypuff,
from a bumper from Kids WB.
Yeah, Batman singing Jigglypuff to Robin so that he will go to sleep. That is the best Batman the Animated Series moment.
That was a good one. I would say if we were going to do best Batman Beyond episodes, definitely for me it would be Egg Baby, in which Terry has to take care of a digital egg, but it's like an egg is like the size of an ostrich egg.
Right.
And while Batman's, you know, yelling at him in his ear and he's trying to, you know, fight crime. It's a great episode. I think it won an Emmy.
If I had to do a Batman Beyond episode, it would be the Batman. I think it's the Batman Beyond where you've got the future versions of the Justice League. And so, and it's Justice also got League Static. Unlimited. And it's got Static in it. Yeah.
The one with Static, that's in Justice League Unlimited.
Oh, that one's Unlimited. Yeah. Okay. So what's the one that has the robot guy? That was the weirdest crossover in the world.
Oh,
Zeta Project.
So Zeta, that like Batman Beyond had the backdoor pilot for Zeta Project.
Yeah.
That was
So that one of those, but definitely anything that has Static or the Justice League, Future Justice League are up.
Best episode of Batman Beyond was the Soul Power episode of Static Shock, where Black Lightning shows up, but he can't call himself Black Lightning. Because Black Lightning didn't actually come out in 1977, but we all know it's Black Lightning. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Tony Isabella's out there wanting money. That's the best episode of Batman.
The best animated series Batman moment is most definitely the one that features the Royal Flush Gang, where is it 10 or Ace, the little 10. Girl?
It's 10, 10 yeah, yeah.
Where she's about to die and her psychic powers are going crazy and Batman's like, I'll go in there and I'll take care of this. And everyone's like, holy crap, Batman's going to go in and kill a little girl. And he just goes in. Oh, it tears me up thinking about it. She's just sitting on the swing and he goes and sits with her. And she's just like, will you stay with me? And he's like, yes.
I think another one that came out of the Justice League that's also kind of a retrospective thing on Batman has the ventriloquist and they shoot. Is it Mr. Scarface? They shoot the puppet in the head and he just stops moving and the ventriloquist is like, Mr. Scarface, speak to me.
Yeah.
He just like he dies because they shot him.
Yep. Yeah. And the best original character beyond Harley Quinn that was introduced in the series is, of course, the Condiment King.
The Condiment King. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for checking us out. Jump into that Discord server. I know we can nerd out about this stuff all day. Go share your thoughts over in the Top 5 Discord server. Why? Because everybody loves a list.
This podcast is copyright 2022 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.